Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I like the unicorns are like stray cats.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Pixie pod?
Sure. Of Onward, the new Pixar joint, I guess.
This might just be my Church of Christ school upbringing, but man, every time I hear Onward, I just think of that Onward Christian Soldier song. Like, it just keeps, like, it will not leave. I haven't thought about that song in like 30 years.
I hadn't heard of it. I mean, I hadn't thought of it until you brought it up. So it's probably been 30 years for me.
Probably because that's the only way I've ever heard that word used. Like, I don't, that's not a real, like, it's not a real common word in my, it's not in my lexicon, at least, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it's not. It's, I mean, it's your typical, I mean, I can see that being a, you know, it, I think I am familiar with it as a fantasy role playing type of thing. That's as
yeah.
And this is exactly where it comes from for,
you
this
know, like
movie.
You're going on a quest onward.
Yeah. And it, you know, people always have that high speech. You know, we're onward onto this. You know, blah blah blah. So, but yeah, this is their new movie, and I will say off the top of the. Right off the bat, like, Pixar's animation continues, like, just talking animation wise, we're not even getting into the quality.
No, I know what you're about to say.
Still, just it's amazing how much they run circles around everybody else.
It's even Disney.
Yeah,
like, even, you know, Disney's Disney films.
Yeah,
like, this compared to Frozen 2 is like,
oh yeah, yeah, and Frozen 2 is nice,
beautiful
to look at and everything, but. But Pixar is just kills it with the, has been killing it with this lately. Toy Story 4 had probably their best ever. But yeah, all these other, I know Pixar has Disney money and everything, but none of these other animation houses like Illumination seem to be upping the ante. They keep making the same product over and over, and everything looks the same.
I agree, and I was thinking about Toy Story 4 also, because Toy Story 4, of course, had the cat, which was a big thing. But I thought this was almost better than that, because in that movie, it was almost like they had this technology they were using for that cat, and not that it was bad, but the cat was almost kind of a stark contrast to everything else.
Right.
It was a little distracting, but it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas in this, I feel like they found an even better way to make everything seamless. There are wide shots in this movie that if I didn't know what this movie was, and like I just walked in the living room and my daughter was watching it, I might not realize it's animated at first.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're showing when they're in the desert or whatever, and they're doing wide shots of that, the landscape, or the traffic on the highway.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks almost just like live action filmmaking when you're just, you know, pulled away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's unbelievable to watch.
So the story about a story of this is in broad sketches, there's two brothers. They live in this world. This is like where actual fantasy creatures live, but they're like humans essentially.
Yeah, they don't use magic anymore because they don't have to. Technology kind of usurped the use of magic because magic was more of a pain in the ass, and now they can, you know, you can just turn a light on as opposed to creating light.
Yeah, yeah, it's that.
It's an interesting concept.
It's like that quote about the sufficient technology is indistinguishable from magic and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
This society has evolved to not need magic anymore, even though they came from magic and everything. And so everything is just like everyday normal thing, except they live in a world that's that there are things that are, there are things like their houses and stuff like that, that are completely different. But like, and the people who live there are completely different, but they have everything else that we have.
And there's like, I like the unicorns are like stray cats.
Yeah. 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 And they have a pet dragon, and things like that.
The main characters are elves. Is that right?
That's what I thought they were.
I think that's right.
But you have, they're the Lightfoots. You have Tom Holland voices Ian, who is the main character. Well, I guess the first main character, and then his brother, voiced by Chris Pratt, Barley. So you have a little Marvel connection there too.
Yeah.
And their mom, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I didn't know it was her going into it, and I just kept, I was like, I know that voice. That almost becomes distracting in some of these movies where you know it's a celebrity, but you can't pinpoint who it is, and then so it's kind of distracting. But she does a great job.
Yeah. They go on this quest, and I'm a sucker for these type of things. I'm a sucker for like Goonies type things and whatever. If you really want to, I mean, it's not like Goonies, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you're saying.
It's where the main characters have to solve problems to get to the next destination.
Yeah, like puzzles and riddles or whatever. Yeah, no, I love that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, so I'm a sucker for this type of thing. I was a little worried about this when I saw the trailer because nothing really appealed to me, like straight up. After watching this, I'm on board with this. I like this.
Oh, cool. I, like you said, the animation is unbelievable. I think I had more problems with it than you did. I don't know. I didn't really connect to too much with it. Like it just, I don't know. I never completely got on board with it. There were moments, but I don't know. Like I said, I just never fully got on board. I thought it was interesting reading about it afterwards, though. Dan Scanlon, who directed it, he did Monsters University. I think that was his only other Pixar directing thing. Apparently, this was based on his dad died when he was young, and he had an audio recording of his dad, and that's where the idea kind of came from. So I thought that was really interesting. But the dead father, if you've had any kind of loss in your life like this, you automatically, it's going to tear you up a little bit. You know, you're going to get some feels watching this. But it's just like, I don't know, the dead parent cliche with Disney movies hasn't really made its way too much into Pixar. So that was kind of weird seeing that, you know. I mean, Pixar's dealt with death, but I don't know. It felt kind of odd. And it also, I don't know, I just didn't. It was interesting, but I guess I didn't feel like they did enough with it.
I have a feeling we're still going to give it the same grade, though.
Possibly. Are you going like C+?
where are you going to go with us?
I think I'm going to go C+. I was kind of somewhere between that and a C, so I think I'm going to go C+.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go B+ on this.
Oh wow.
I thought you might be putting it in the B or B- territory somewhere around there. You are right about a lot of things though about this. I totally agree with you. I think the quest part and the overall, I guess, emotional beat they were trying to give us ended up making this a B for me. Now, had it not done those couple of things, I'd probably be in C+ territory as well.
I will say before we get into spoilers, a pretty main factor for me too was I didn't like the Chris Pratt character at all. I found him very annoying. In fact, I didn't find him funny. Like, I didn't laugh. I don't think I laughed. Maybe I did laugh a couple times in this movie, but I don't think I laughed at him. He felt like the Bill Paxton character Chet from Weird Science.
Yeah.
It was kind of like somebody said, what if we had Chet, but he's not a dick? He's just an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how it felt to me. I don't know. It was just kind of annoying. It's really nothing against Chris Pratt. I mean, he's fine, but I just found that character a little obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
And then the what was the other one? Ian? Was mm-hmm. that the younger one?
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland's character. He was fine. I guess we'll get into this more in spoilers too. The ending kind of bugged me a little bit, but I don't know. I felt like there was a lot of stuff that wasn't earned by the end of this movie, and I thought the Ian character suffered some, like in the development phase, like the way they decided to end the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, let's get on to spoilers on this one.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Basically,
Kaiser Sose. Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
Yeah. So the main, I guess the main story here is that, early before Ian was even born.
Yeah.
The father of the household got sick and died.
Yeah.
And the Chris Pratt, Barley, like the Barley character, had a couple of years with him.
Yeah.
Maybe like 3 or 4 years with
him. That's what I got out of what they were saying.
And then Ian never got anything. And then so on his birthday, it's his 18th birthday?
16th.
It's his 16th birthday. Yep. His mom pulls this gift that their father left them before he died, and it's a staff, and it has this phoenix gem along with it.
Yep.
Barley, who's like this big fantasy role-playing nerd, mm-hmm. realizes this immediately and gets really excited, and we can actually use this and yeah. everything. And so there's a spell that they can say to bring their father back for one day. And he tries it a bunch and it doesn't work. And then in typical movie, parlance, Ian is just kind of saying the words out loud, like trying to figure them out. But he's the one who's magic. So,
yeah,
the father starts developing from the legs, mm-hmm. the legs up, and he doesn't have the power to control it. And the Phoenix Gem runs out before they can even complete the father. So it's basically just running legs around at this whole point. So the only way that they can possibly get this, you know, sometime with their father is to find another Phoenix Gem.
Yeah.
And so they go on this quest to find that, and they have to go through all these old the game, the fantasy role playing game that Barley plays is based in reality.
Yeah.
So everything's historic. So all the cards he has, it's like Magic the Gathering.
Absolutely, yeah.
All the cards he has have actual locations, actual characters, actual of stuff. So they know that if they go to this one place, this creature can give them a map to where the Phoenix Gem is, and then they can go on a quest, get the Phoenix Gem, and then with the time remaining, get their father complete. That's the whole story.
Yeah. So you get to set up like they have a clock basically they're racing against to see if to spend as much time with their father as they possibly can. It's really funny though, and I'm not holding this against the movie or anything, but it still just always kills me with these like when people find instructions that somebody left them, like there's never just enough. Like wouldn't you have written on there like you got to hold on to it? Or
yeah, exactly. I agree, especially since this is all this is so important. 24 hours is all you have,
and thank God one of them actually had magic.
And one of them has power. Yeah, I mean, you would think that it would just be a a blanket term that any one of his kids would have been able to do it. But yeah, I guess it's a good thing. Good thing he's the one that's magic, and the other, you know.
And it's fine. I'm not holding that. That has nothing to do with.
No. You know what? You're right. This is a D. This is a D now. I didn't even think about that.
I will say though, the Ian's magical abilities though are kind of interesting because it's like, man, he's just like a fucking sorcerer. Like about 20 minutes later, it felt like he does stuff incorrectly. But and I get like they kind of play it off that Barley knows a lot because of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. I do kind of like that. I do like the concept though, where they're having to go on this quest using like locations that would have stored stuff from like the older days, but they're stuck in a world that doesn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, like they have to go find the Manticore because she's the one that goes on all the quests. Mm-hmm. That's
Octavia Spencer,
who I did not recognize her voice.
Like, no, I didn't either.
That's a pretty good performance. But they go there to see her, and her like castle or whatever now is basically like a medieval times for kids.
Right. That's another thing, by the way. You know what? Sending this movie is going to be fun. There's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
When Ian and Barley get to this place, this old, whatever it is, used to be like a place where people game and hung out and did quests and stuff. And they're outside and they're talking like, okay, we're about to go in there. There's nobody in the streets.
Yeah.
There's nobody anywhere. There's no sign. They open the door and boom, it's a fucking theme restaurant.
Yeah.
And it is a busy one too.
And they've got like the Chuck E. Cheese guy like dressed up as the Manticore because they're like, can we see the Manticore? They're like, yes, you can, son. And, which why she would think that was a little kid, I have no idea. And then like the map that they give them for going to find the gym is like a kid's coloring. It's like a kid. It's a
well,
kid's
she
menu.
Has the Manticore has the actual map.
Yeah, she does.
But when she finds out that they're actually going to use it to go on a quest, she's worried about getting sued because we're in the modern day now.
But then the kids menus apparently are based off her old maps.
Mm-hmm.
So thankfully that was the kids menu they had that day.
Yeah. And they had the right answer written on it, which was some Raven's Point or something like that.
But they do. I mean, this movie, which is weird because this movie's almost 2 hours. So I wouldn't say but it does seem to kind of rush through some of this stuff but I mean, for what it does, I do think there are some interesting points where they're trying to figure out how to do certain things.
If there's one thing that's maybe, I don't know, there is something off about this movie. I'm giving it a B+ because I did enjoy myself.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things off about this movie. That aspect of the world has moved on, but everybody's still magical looking creatures and all that, I feel like kind of in a way robs the movie a little bit.
Yeah.
It almost feels like it should be human characters, it should just be humans who find out that there used to be magic, because I don't know there's something about that. I can't put it into words on a podcast.
Well, there aren't humans. I mean, as far as I know, because they give the impression they're just in the United States. So I mean, that's the impression I get. Like there are some simulation of the United States.
Yeah, they're definitely not human. I'm just, but they.
No, I'm saying I don't know if there are humans.
Oh,
we
don't know if there are humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either. It doesn't look like there are, but in the end, I just thought that it would have been better. I mean, it almost feels like, well, we have to have fantastical creatures be our main characters, so that it looks like something out of this world and everything.
Yeah.
And we don't do like regular human stuff very well. That's one thing Pixar has always had a problem with. It feels like this should be a human. This is a human story.
Oh yeah,
there's just
for
a couple of. I mean, obviously, all the their stories are. Cars is a human story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that it feels like this should be more like it. If these are magical creatures, they should know magic, and they shouldn't.
I know what you're saying. I feel like this is going to be like Cars too, where I found like a lot of people that defend those movies, including Aaron Dicer. talk, which I don't.
And by the way,
the first Cars is not bad. Actually.
Very good time to remind everybody: fuck Aaron Dice.
That is a good point.
Exactly, good point.
Anytime you talk about Pixar, no, but he said, you know, you just kind of got to accept the world, and I wonder if people are going to say that about this. You know, you can't think too hard about it. It's not, but it's also not as bad as Cars, to where we're trying to figure out, like, how do they have kids?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we're not doing that. But,
yeah.
But I know what you're saying. No, it's like that very high concept kind of thing. It's almost like, this is a weird comparison, but it's kind of like that sitcom Dinosaurs. It's kind of like, you know, what if we took, like, magical people, but we put them in the suburbs and and funny, you know?
Yeah.
But then they just do, like, normal dumb shit, you know, like you do in, like, your regular sitcom. But I think that's what kind of is holding me back on this. I think that's kind of why, because I feel like the concept was somewhat interesting, but I feel like they painted it with very broad strokes, and they didn't really dig too deep into it. And I feel like, and maybe this is unfair, but it's hard to watch a Pixar movie and not compare it to other Pixar movies, and that's why I felt like this kind of fell maybe on the lower end of the Pixar spectrum. It's a C+ Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas maybe if this was an Illumination movie, maybe it's an A. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But then it would be a completely different movie, and there'd be a lot of farting. So
there would be. There would be. That's the one thing that was sort of bothering me during this. But that said, once they get on the quest, I do like the problem solvings. I did like the bridge scene, where they have a drawbridge that's on one side with one lever that's on the other side, and
that was a good scene.
He has to figure out how to make the invisible bridge. I think they could have done some things better with that too, but that turned out pretty well. I liked the fact that Barley ends up sacrificing his van.
Yeah,
you know, I love that scene. There are a lot of just like nice little quest things in here that I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're right about, like, Ian is not a very interesting character.
No.
Barley is kind of annoying, but I kind of dug what they were throwing out with him. I do wish Ian was a little bit more dynamic for sure. And it looked like even they could have spent a little bit more time on Julie Louis-Dreyfus's character, Laurel, and the Manticore, because they're having a quest too, essentially.
Exactly, yeah. They just kind of get thrown to the side, and some of their stuff is kind of interesting, but then they'll cut away from it. You're just like, well, no, go back.
Like they do a couple of things. I'm not even sure if that sword ends up being important, because the sword doesn't even kill that dragon at the end, really. Remember, they get that sword from the pawn shop.
Wait, so maybe I'm remembering that incorrectly. Because I know she tries to stab it. It doesn't work. But then I thought he, like, used his magic and, like, shoved the sword
in. Maybe the magic is what happened. Yeah. Is what ended up.
Combination.
Yeah. So, but it seemed like, so they got that, but it seemed like they could have had some sort of alternate quest in there where they were figuring things out on their own. And it would have been a good balance.
Well,
to
and they bring like the cops into it, like, and that whole thing feels very contrived. Like, I don't even think that's necessary. Like, there's the scene where they do the drawbridge. Once they get over there, their mom is Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She's either married or dating.
I don't know. I couldn't figure that out either. If it was dating or if it was the second husband.
Because at one point somebody made a comment about raising your stepkids, but then they said that's mom's boyfriend. So who knows?
But that's the Colt Bronco, the guy. I guess it's
I can't remember what that is.
It's not a Minotaur. It's
Centaur.
Centaur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colt Bronco is a centaur voiced by Mel Rodriguez, who I don't know if I recognize.
No, I mean, I looked him up. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he's not. Yeah. When I see him, a picture of him, I don't recognize him, but apparently he's like in Panic Room and Little Miss Sunshine. He, oddly enough, he plays a cop a lot. It looks like, cause he's like always officer or captain.
Yeah.
In all these movies.
He's the Bruce Greenwood of cops.
Yeah. He's Dennis Franz.
Yeah. Exactly.
But they have this whole thing where he's like helping her look for them, and then they get pulled pulled over at one point, and then they imitate him.
Mm-hmm.
They use some spell to where it camouflages him.
And I like that too, because that's a part where he has to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Ian has to tell the truth to the officers, and if he says anything that's a
lie,
it starts changing him back. And at this point where the officer played by Lena Waithe says something like, oh yeah, the one guy, the Barley, he's a total loser and everything. And Ian tries to say, no, he's not.
Yeah.
And that's when he starts changing back a little bit. And I thought that they were going to get that third act, people get pissed off at each other and break up thing out of the way right there.
Yeah.
But then there's another one later.
That's true. There is. And also, but what? Yeah, that scene is fine. What I was kind of talking about though is just when the cops show up when they're about to get to the place they think the gem's at.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand why, in the grand scheme of things, why Colt gave a shit that they were on this. They weren't hurting anybody,
mm-hmm.
and the mom knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't know why. Like, the police involvement just seemed a little goofy. But then you do get the scene where he has to sacrifice his van, which actually is a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it does lead to a few interesting things. I also kind of enjoyed where they made the giant Cheeto boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just shot down the waterway. That was kind of interesting. Kind of Frozen 2 reminiscent. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of liked you're right, they do have another moment. Are you talking about when they get back to the high school?
Yeah.
And then they kind of get pissed at each other again?
Yeah, because the quest has taken them all the way back
to their
high school. And it kills me that this is another thing. Maybe this is a C. Fuck, I don't know. I watched this movie once. What do you guys expect? Every time I do these reviews, I'm like, I'm probably wrong. Fuck it. But no, they've already done from the beginning with the Manticore and the theme restaurant and everything.
Yeah.
They know things are not exactly what they used to be. So Ian gets immediately pissed off when they're back at the high school. And it's like, can you not just think for about 5 seconds? And not be pissed off and just say, maybe the place really does come back here because we don't know anymore. Modern time is different from the past time, but instead it makes them separate, albeit briefly, but it makes them separate so that Barley can go and like find it on his own. And
that's the thing that kind of, I mean, I guess it's kind of, maybe it is kind of interesting that Barley finds it since he's the big quest person, but that, like I said, that kind of relegates Ian a little bit, like kind of moves him to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barley ends up being the one that talks to the dad, which I don't know that I minded that, but I mean, they just kind of throw in this random story towards the end about how he never said bye to him because he was scared because he was in the hospital and he was up, you know, he was connected to a bunch of machines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden it's like, Ian's like, well, go say bye to him. And all, cause there's a dragon that's trying to get the stone from them, which mm-hmm. we haven't even said, but we did say that earlier about the sword. So everybody kind of gets together right at the end. Like the mom and the man, of course, show up with sword. All the cops emerge, you know, verge on, come in on him. Then once he gets the stone, there's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a dragon comes up out of and the dragon's actually very cool.
Dragons pieced together from parts of the
it's
school.
Very, very, very neat. I liked that kind of like talk about the animation style. I thought that was super cool. So then Ian ends up finding the dragon and then he tells Barley to go see the dad and then, you know, it's fine or whatever. And that's kind of how it ends.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. There was another thing in this too, reminded me a little bit of Jumanji, The Next Level, where, so their father has, they've taken their father who's just legs. We haven't really discussed the father and his character.
That's
in this.
True.
All he can do is communicate using his feet. So there's a lot of like tapping going on. There's a lot of like signaling and things like that. And there's dances. There's a dance scene. There's all these things. There is a scene in here where they have to get out of this area by pressing this button down while this water, like starts to fill this area, fill this cylinder up or whatever. So if they can hit that button, then the other thing at the top will be open. And I was like, if they didn't have their father, like they were talking about, we need somebody who can't drown. So they put their father's legs down there, who like sort of mindlessly looks around for the button with his feet and finally gets there. And I'm just like, what would they have done?
I don't know.
What would they have done without the father there? If this quest is for real, like if somebody set this quest up, I'm giving you all the rules. Here's where you do it. How would they have gotten past that?
Well, and then there's that whole part right before they get to that room, too, where they're in this hallway with all these booby traps. And he's even like, at one point, Ian's like, look, there's a system. We've got to figure it out. And then Barley's like, no, we don't have time. So then they just run through it.
With shields.
With shields and don't get hit by anything. But it's like, well, I mean, that would have been more interesting to like figure out the, you know, Jehovah starts with an I or whatever it is. Whatever it is you got to do in this moment to get through it.
I understand that once they got into that room for the button thing, they could have just immediately pressed it.
Yeah.
But then
the water still,
the water still has to bring them up. So it's one of those things where the movie decided, well, this is something clever, that we're going to put in here where they can use one of the characters and who has an immunity to the problem. And they forget that this quest is set up for people, anybody to try to fit, to get. And anybody to win and you can't win it unless you have something like that.
And I mean, and I guess it's little things, but I don't know. It sometimes they add up. And like I said, I mean, this movie has a lot of heart. It has its heart in the right place. I just, like I said, I feel like I've seen the dead father thing or the dead parent thing so many times in these movies. And so that's not all that interesting to me. I don't mean that heartless. It's become a cliche with a lot of these Disney films.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything here there wasn't anything that added something different to it for me. At least I didn't find anything. But it is, I mean, it is sad. I mean, I got a little teary eyed at the end. I mean, there's a good little moment too, where Ian realizes that while he didn't have his father, he had Barley, and Barley did the things his father would have helped him with, taught him how to swim. And
yeah, he had a list of things that he wanted to do with his father, and it turns out that he did them all with his brother, and that was good enough.
And that's nice. I mean, I just feel like everything's just kind of painted with these broad strokes, and I don't know. It's a perfectly fine little movie, but it definitely doesn't. It doesn't really move the needle for me. There's not a whole lot there for me to grab onto, other than, like you said, it's got some nice moments and the animation's really kick ass. I could watch this movie just looking at the animation all fucking day. But I mean, I don't know. And even like and I'll be honest, the audience I was in was quiet, like for the most. I'm not saying they didn't like it.
Don't think there was very much they were putting out there to be like laugh out loud, though.
True story. There was some stuff at the beginning, maybe, with like just you get to see like all the crap going on. I did find the unicorns funny, and they only do it a couple times, which is perfect. But the unicorns getting into the trash at the beginning, and then you see some more in that cave later.
I had a different experience. I made sure that I watched this late as possible because I had a problem watching Frozen with all those kids and so I watched it in a huge theater with just me and this other dude further down.
Oh, it's like a 10 o'clock show.
So I was able to watch it in peace and everything. And maybe that's why I'm giving it an extra grade.
Well, like I said, mine was actually pretty quiet. So
I think you're right about a lot of the things that are wrong with this. And I even found some of the things that you did, I guess it just didn't bother me as much.
Ultimately,
but there are a lot of things in this that are like, they could have sketched this out a little bit better, I think. So lots of good things, lots of bad things. I ended up enjoying it for the most part. You kind of did, but
I
not.
Mean, it's very middle of the road. Like, I gave this about the same grade I gave Sonic. That's a weird, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess you do have to compare those. Those are two children's movies kids movies out right now. I might actually slightly prefer Sonic just because it's a little more it was a little more entertaining. But I think this one is like the better movie of the two. But I think I gave Sonic a C+ too, so I kind of, maybe this is just my 2020 kids movie review.
So if there's really anything to come out of this podcast today, it's Don't trust my opinion. Jonathan is dead inside. And fuck Aaron Dicer.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it comes down to.
He listens to these too, which is great.
I know. But no, I did like it. I think the quest part is what draws me in. Just any kind of problem solving stuff. And I think people, if they heard me talk a bunch, that really is appealing.
No,
to me.
Yeah, we're both in that, you know, in that area. Cause I know like we've talked about stuff like that with movies, like even like Saw, where, yeah, you know, we wish there was more of that kind of puzzle stuff. And very few movies get it right either, which is unfortunate, but yeah, no, if you can give me a good like quest or like thing where people have to solve riddles and shit, yeah, I'm totally down.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right. So what did you guys think about Onward? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We have SoundCloud. We're also on Discord. If you want to get on Discord, you can go to our Reddit page and find a link on the right side of the page. Or you can go to the Facebook page and private message me, and I will give you a link to it there. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
You can find me on Twitter at SamLoomis13. And most weeks I am on the BTS podcast, Behind the Sins, with Aaron Dicer. Fuck Aaron Dicer.
Yeah, exactly.
And the lovely Danae Hughes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's all we have to say about Aaron and Danae. So, yeah, that'll do it for this mini-pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.